encouraging us, praying for us, fasting for us, because my son is always in contact with Sister Wendy. So Sister Wendy always sending the message, text message, so telling us what for us. So I'm very thankful for everyone. We love you so much. So you are like my family. So we are very happy to see you today and be sharing our testimony. So my son is going to start.
Hello, good morning everyone. I hope everyone is doing okay. And this is, I'm sharing the testimony on behalf of my father. So I hope when you listen this, you feel blessed. Good morning, church. I hope you all are doing fine in Jesus Christ. I thank God for giving me this opportunity to share our testimony with you all and give glory to God. So I would like to share some of our testimony back from Sri Lanka. Here we came to Sri Lanka from Pakistan due to persecution in 2006 and took asylum in UNHCR. But unfortunately, we were rejected from their office in 2007. And after then, our status in Sri Lanka was illegal. Because we could not return back to Pakistan due to our lives were in danger, I used to work as a volunteer with a Catholic priest. And as the time was passing by, we started attending Calvary Church in Negumbo. In that church, we met Pastor Tim and Sister Sharon. And we shared our story with them. As we were getting to know each other, we built a strong family relationship with them. They were helping us in every way and loved us like their family. So one day they told us they will find a way for us to live a better life because they knew that we couldn't live in Sri Lanka or work officially because we were illegal. Pastor Tim was finding a way for us and he spoke with his friend Daniel Code. He's a German national and used to work with Pastor Tim at that time. So we met with Brother Daniel and shared our story and had a long conversation regarding all the matter. And he was very kind and loving and a strong Christian believer. So he encouraged us and told us that God will make a way for you. And he spoke to his friend Victor Unruh, who lives in Canada and is a church member in Oslo Mission Chapel. And then Brother Victor spoke to Sister Wendy and Brother Richard regarding our situation, and they agreed to talk with the church board, and they did. And the church agreed to sponsor us. We got sponsored from Oslo Mission Chapel in 2010, but unfortunately we got rejected in 2011 by the Canadian Embassy in Sri Lanka. After the refusal from the Canadian Embassy, we were all totally broken and were shocked. Because what has happened with us, because this was our only hope to save our lives. And after everything that happened, still Brother Daniel, Sister Wendy, and the church were looking away for us to come to Canada. But nothing worked, but we never gave up even a single day. Because when God is with us, then who can be against us? We kept our faith held high. And we knew that God will make a way for us someday when it's the right time. Because God loves his children and never leaves them behind. So as the time was passing, Pastor Tim and Brother Daniel families were also went back to their countries. In June 2012, the immigration of Sri Lanka were looking for illegal migrants in Negumbo. So we had to go and hide in different locations for 1.5 months to save our lives from the immigration. So the Catholic priest helped. Catholic priest helped us to move to a safe place in a hill country far away from Negumbo, which was called Kegol. This period of time was very hard for me and my family, and for even some days, we did not even come out of the house due to fear of being caught by the immigration. The only way we could feel safe and have peace in our life was through praying to God and keeping trusting in Him and reading the Word of God. We were staying in a Catholic nun's convent, and I started working there for mentally challenged special children, which was being run by the nuns of the convent. And thank to God, after a short time, my children were also able to go to school through the help of nuns. So the time was passing by. We prayed every day and asked God, how long are we going to be hiding like this? And what day we will have freedom? After 6.5 years of staying in the convent, the nun asked us to find a new place for ourselves because they couldn't keep us there furthermore. We were very upset and didn't know what to do or where to go. But God made a way for us. We rented a house and moved back to Nigambo in 2009. In April 2019, there were several bomb blasting attacks on the churches in Nigambo, and the local angry mobs were targeting the foreign nationals for the incident. So we have to leave our house, and we went to the police station to take protection. And almost 150 foreign people were taking protection behind the police station in Nigambo. So we stayed there for 1.5 months until everything got calmed down. And in between that time, one of our friends, Harish, who lives in the States, came to know about our situation, which we were in through media, and called us and asked us, how can she help us in this situation? So we gave her sister Wendy's contact number, and she spoke with her and explained all our situation by the grace of God. Sister Wendy spoke with the church and found a way to sponsor us again through the help of Mr. Mark Bigland Pritchard and his organization. But this was not possible. God made it possible. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. During this process, we came back to our house, but unfortunately, after the very next day, the immigration raided our house and saw our documents, which were expired. And since we were illegal and without visa, they brought us to the immigration detention camp. They brought us to the immigration detention camp on 31st of May 2019. We were very sad and mentally depressed of the situation which we were facing. And when we came to the camp, there was no any place to sleep at all for 3 days. Even the corridors outside the building was full and overcrowded. And this was a new challenge for us, and we didn't know what to do. And the worst thing was that we got separated as a family. They put my wife Miriam into the lady's side. The first week was very difficult, hard and challenging for us, but again, God was with us at all time and protected us. There were almost 140 people living there with different nationalities, and the atmosphere inside the camp was very bad. I was very much worried about my children because a lot of people inside the camp were on drugs, and some people were very aggressive, and there were lots of fights in the camp every day. But God kept us safe always. And we were in touch with Sister Wendy all the time. In August 2019, we received an email from the Canadian Embassy that our sponsor application had been approved. And we were very happy, thanking the Lord for this new hope in our. In January 2020, we got an email from the Canadian Embassy in Sri Lanka regarding our biometric appointments. But unfortunately, the Sri Lankan immigration did not allow us to attend the appointments. And then in March 2020, COVID hit the world and everything shut down, even the Canadian embassy. During COVID, we faced a tough time, and even they didn't allow us to buy food. Whatever they gave, we had to eat. We used to share all our difficulties with Sister Wendy, what we face in the camp. And she shared with the church, and we are very grateful that we used to receive a lot of encouraging messages from the church. And a lot of people from the church fasted and prayed for us. And we were blessed and happy to know that everyone in church loved us and cared about us, which made us more stronger in our faith every single day. Sister Wendy helped us financially every month for our essential needs, which was a blessing to us and also helped us emotionally. In 2021, December 23rd, the immigration moved all the detainees to a new location, which was Valisara detention camp near to the airport. In April 2022, we got an email from the Canadian Embassy regarding our interviews, which was April 27 in person at the Canadian High Commission. But again, the Sri Lankan immigration was not allowing us to attend the interviews. And because of this, we were mentally upset. So the same day, we were praying very hard and asked God to find a way so that we can attend the interviews. And also, we informed Sister Wendy. And she also told that the church is praying for you. And we informed the Canadian Embassy as well. So after a few days, we heard back from the embassy asking us that if we can attend our interviews online via Zoom app. So we were very happy and thank God for the answer of all our prayers. On 26th of April, the day before our interview, God showed us a sign which was a rainbow. This sign was God telling us not to be afraid, for I am with you always. And the same night, I prayed to God and told, when I attend my interview tomorrow, please give me wisdom and knowledge. Guide me. Guide me through Holy Spirit and touch the interview officer's heart. We all attended our interview on April 27, and it was for about 4 hours via Zoom in the detention camp. So the interview officer told us that she will review our application and will let us know. And then 3 months passed, we didn't heard anything from them. And in that time, we were worried also, but we prayed day and night and believed that God is going to do a big miracle in our lives. And also heard from Sister Wendy that the church is also continuously praying for us. And this gave us more encouragement. So after 1 month in September 14, we were having our breakfast early in the morning. And we received a notification of an email, and it was from the Canadian Embassy. So we got very excited and nervous while opening the email, and we're praying in our heart to God that this be a good news for our lives. And when we read the email, it was for our medical examination.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Police clearance, yeah. And biometric scanning. And by seeing this news, we were very, very happy. And called my wife and told her about the good news we received from the embassy. And that day was unforgettable for all of us. We had tears of joy. We bowed down and thanked Lord for answering all our prayers. Yes, so we went through all our process which was required by the embassy. And the best part was that the immigration cooperated with us miraculously in this all process by the grace of God. In late November 2022, the embassy approved our visas and forwarded them to IOM, International Organization for Migration, for our travel arrangements. Then in mid-February 2023, we got a call from the IOM officer telling us that our tickets are confirmed for the 9th of March. So we were very excited and were counting the days. On 3rd of March, around 4:30 p.m., we got a call from the IOM medical officer asking us to come for the final checkups before traveling. On 7th of March at 10 a.m. at the Medical Assessment Center in Colombo, she also told us that the Canadian Embassy has emailed the Sri Lankan immigration informing them to escort you at our office. After that, we called the immigration officer in charge of the camp and told him that we have to go to the final medical checkups before our departure, and told him that the Canadian Embassy had emailed the immigration headquarters asking permission to attend the medical appointments. But the officer said that I am off duty now and did not see any email, and said he will go and check the email on Tuesday, 7th of March, which day we were supposed to attend our appointments, because on the 6th of March it was a special holiday in Sri Lanka. On 7th of March, early in the morning, we called the immigration officer, asked him when is he coming to pick us up, because our appointment's time was 10 a.m. But the immigration officer said that they didn't receive the email and refused to take us to the appointments. And we got scared and worried about the situation. Immediately, we called the IOM medical officer and told her about the situation. And then the IOM informed the Canadian embassy about our situation. And then the Canadian embassy contacted with Sri Lankan immigration head office. After 10 minutes, the immigration officer called and told us to get ready because he's on his way.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
By the grace of God. So after so much of effort and struggle, finally, we did our medical checkups and got our tickets and travel documents. And on 9th of March at 12:30, we finally said goodbye to Sri Lanka, to the camp, and started our journey for the promised land, which God promised us. And we felt like we were dreaming, and that moment was unbelievable in our lives. So we arrived in Saskatoon on 10th of March at 4 p.m. And we saw pastors and all the support team, and they did a huge warm welcome at the airport. When we came to our new home in Canada, everything was organized more than our expectations. We want to thank everyone for your precious contributions, donations, and all your effort. This means a lot to us. We are very thankful from the bottom of our hearts.
Yes, sir. Especially for children. Some children brought flowers for us. We don't know.
All the church supporting team, and especially Sister Wendy and Brother Richard, who made all this possible with the help of Lord our God. Thank you. And also I want to thank all the church pastors and the church members who always keep us in your thoughts and prayers. And finally, I want to thank Pastor Tim and Sister Sharon, who came from a long way to attend our testimony. And thank you once again. God bless you all.
Hello, church. So I want to share some of our pictures from Sri Lanka, our journey from Sri Lanka to Canada. And this was... Can turn the light off? This was when we came to Sri Lanka in 2007.
Two small boys.
Yeah. And this was Pastor Tim and Auntie Sharon. They were with us in our home in Sri Lanka. And this was Uncle Daniel and his wife, Aryan Kaur. And their daughter and son.
Jocelyn and Josiah.
Yeah. My dad used to drop and pick my mom because she used to help Auntie Irene.
Yeah. This is our Mercedes. We are traveling. We are traveling like a 50-minute from Brother Daniel's house to our house, and also Pastor's house is very near, Pastor Tim's house.
Yeah. Everyone, the children also showing their Ferraris. There. So this was like when we moved to Kegel, my dad used to work at this place with the special children. Yeah, my dad went to a trip with the special children in Nuralia.
That is tea factory. We took all the children, disabled children, mental challenge children, and other orphan girls. Convents, nuns, and all the other children. Sri Lanka is very beautiful. If you have chance to see, so nice, green and beautiful.
If you have the chance to Sri Lanka, but don't go to the camp.
Yeah, this was in 2019. Uncle Daniel and his family came for some missionary work in Sri Lanka. So we went and met them. And this was the front of the immigration detention camp in Velisara. So there were like three gates, one in the front, one in the between, and one in the end. And this was a priest, he came to meet us in the detention camp. Yeah, this was the sign which we were talking about. God showed this sign like before, the day before our interview. So he showed us that, don't worry, I will take care of everything.
Yeah, this is actually promising to God to us. This is Asher friends.
Asher friends.
He's looking when you're coming out and play with us.
So these were the security guards of the detention camp. They were really nice people, but when it comes to taking bribe, they were the pros. And this was the immigration officer. He was a really nice guy. He helped us a lot. And this was the immigration detention camp. So we used to pray like this.
Our own language. So Urdu, our national language is Urdu. So we're singing in Urdu.
So this was coincidence that Uncle Daniel came like in Sri Lanka in that week. So when he knew that we are going on the 8th of like 9th morning, so in the 8th of the morning he came to meet us in the detention camp in Velisera.
It's a blessing for us. So he come to see us.
This was the church support team.
Wow,
and pastors.
Nice.
They came to meet us in the Saskatoon airport when we were arriving.
This is an exciting moment for us.
So this is when we came from. Uncle told that he will lift my dad up and he did.
It's all moment we feeling like we came back to our family. This unforgettable moment for us and enjoy that time. We love, we saw the love. Our sporting team, our pastors, who love us, care us, and always sharing and caring us. So thank you for all.
So this is my engagement photos from Toronto, in Oshawa, and that is, yeah, we went there in Toronto in August 16, and my engagement was on 17. So at the left side, there's. That is Nida and her mom and dad at the left and their siblings.
So this is also blessing from God which we got in Canada.
I never thought I would get engaged this soon, but it's all God's plan.
So Uncle finished all these sweets there. Uncle did lots of good moves in dance.
He's quite a dancer. And this is when we came back from Toronto. And then auntie gave us party for my mom's birthday and for my engagement with all the church supporting group. It was a fun night. So I want to thank everyone for praying for us, for keeping us in your hearts and thoughts, and always encouraging us. Our life in Sri Lanka was very difficult for 17 years. We have to face a lot of trials, but we never gave up even a single day. And we knew that one day God will move us from here and will take us to a place where we belong. Because God is very big. What He can do, we can even not think. God has done so many miracles in our lives and kept us safe. As children, me and Asher, our lives were not normal. We have to hide in many places, and we have to, when we see policemen on the road, we were like scared. If he asked us question, where are you from, or where do you live? So we were always like afraid, and we don't go outside much. We didn't have many friends outside. So, but We were very close to God. We prayed each and every day. And we believe that God can do everything. And by the grace of God, today God has made this day and give us this opportunity that we are here. God has blessed us with many things. And now we are working and we have good jobs. And Mr. Nelson is here with us. He's a very entertaining guy. I'm glad, sir, you are here. Thank you for coming. And also all the church members and all the friends who have been praying for us for a long, long time. And this journey is difficult, but God made it possible and we are here today. Our strong from the first day to now is always like this and will always stay forever like this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So Pastor and Sister Sharon also coming to join us. So we sing a song and then
I'm Tim Comer and this is my wife Sharon. No, I have a singer. So I wanted Sharon to be up here with me because she was as much a part of it as I was. Did any of you here ever used to hear the old Paul Harvey programs on the radio? And some of you are shaking, your older people are shaking your head. He always told an interesting story, and at the very end he says, now, the rest of the story. I want to fill in some blanks that they left out. Very important. When we first came to Sri Lanka, we were at the Calvary Church, and they brought this couple to us, and they said, these people just came here from Pakistan, and you need to get to know them. So we had them over to our house, and we started hearing their story. Actually, what he didn't tell you was, when he was in Pakistan, in Karachi, he was fairly successful. He had cars, he had motorcycles, he had a nice house, lived with his parents, and he had a home health care business where he would hire nurses to come and take care of people in their homes in the day, in the evening, and so on. Well, he got a phone call one day from the chief of police in Karachi. And the chief of police said, can you send a nurse over for my mother in the day and another one in the evening because she needs round-the-clock care? He said, sure, I would be glad to do that. So he sent two ladies, one during the day, one in the evening. 24 hours later, the chief of police calls back and says, the lady you sent during the day, she's okay, but the one that came in the evening, she's kind of fat and ugly. Can you send a younger girl? And Patrick goes, what's going on here? And he says, okay, I'll try to send someone. So he sent another younger lady, and the next day, the chief of police calls again. He says, the lady in the daytime came, but the lady at night is not coming back. Where is she? And he says, I don't know. What happened? So he tried to call her. She's not answering her phone. Finally, he goes to her house, and her mother was very afraid, and she let him in and said, the chief of police and other men have a sex ring going on in his house. And they were using that girl all night long. And he has more guts than he did not do. He picked up the phone and called the police station of all places. That's where the chief of police works. And he said, I have a crime to report. And within, an hour or less, these men showed up, not in uniform, and they forced their way into the house, and they began to beat him almost to death. He had him down on the floor, and they were kicking him in the back. And his mother was crying and saying, stop, stop, don't kill my son. And they finally left, and they said, okay, but by tomorrow night, you've got to have another girl over here. And he didn't want to do that. He said, I know that's wrong. I can't do that. So he consulted a few people, a pastor and a lawyer, and they said, look, if the chief of police of Karachi is after you, the only answer is to get out of the country. So you go with your family very quickly, and you get whatever you can, and you get out of the country. They left just in time before the name was broadcast over the computers at the airport. And they got out, and they fled to Sri Lanka. It was one of the few, the local countries near Pakistan. And that's why they came. And when we first heard that story, I thought, wow, this guy has a lot of guts. He is bold to stand up against the chief of police of Karachi. Now, not only was it because of the chief's crime, but also the fact that he was a Christian and the chief of police was a Muslim, of course. And they issued warnings that on all the computers at the airport that if they were ever seen coming or going, that they would immediately be arrested. Well, there were some pictures. I don't guess they were shown. At one point, your passports expired. And I said, well, maybe this has been now, what, 3 years or so? Maybe it's not so bad. So Miriam and Josh and Asher were all going to try to go back to renew their passports. Patrick's was still active. And so we raised some money, got them airline tickets, and the day before, the Pakistan embassy requires that anybody who's flying in or out of the country has to notify the government a day before they arrive. Within 24 hours of purchasing the ticket, his mother called and said, don't come. The chief of police are already asking about you. If you come, they will grab you, probably kill you, and maybe even take your mother, your wife, and your boys. So it was a very, very thing, critical thing that they had to stay away. They had no choice. They were facing a death threat. Well, he didn't share that in the story because it's difficult to share.
Well, that we already said before.
You already told that story before? I don't know if you all understood that, but this is the first time for most of you to hear this story. Anyway, that's what led to all the difficulties of where to stay and where to go, because his passports expired and they had to. We tried to get as much refund from we could from the tickets and they had no valid passports, and so they hid out for several years at this convent in Norelia up in the mountains, and they hid there, and then finally they thought, well, maybe it's safe now, and they came down and back into the city, and that's when they were discovered. And another thing they did not tell you, they showed you that picture of this building. I don't know if you could see it. You can't see very clearly on this wall, but it has a roll of that razor wire all the way around it at the top. And on the top, there's a little guardhouse. And I asked him, I said, were they always guards in that tower? And he said, yeah, they were always watching the whole ground. So it was not a camp, like you go to a Christian camp and have a really good time. No, it's not the same kind of camp. This was a prison camp. And so the worst thing about it, and I didn't know this till last night, when they were there, they had the women's side and the men's side, and they put Miriam in the women's side, and she could only see her husband and son for about 30 minutes once a week. And that was it. She was isolated with all these other women she didn't know, women that were not always very kind or nice, not Christian. And out of all the four of them, Miriam suffered the most. And I want to read a scripture, and I want people to come. If you and Sharon, you and Miriam, come down to the front, down here. Yeah, walk down to the front. And I want Miriam especially to go with Sharon. Yeah. And stand here in the front. Because I want to ask, especially any women here that would like to come down in a few minutes and lay hands and pray for Miriam. And this is the scripture the Lord gave us. You know, when Jesus preached his first sermon in Nazareth, it was a sermon taken from Isaiah 61. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." She needs a lot of attention. She needs a lot of prayer. I know she doesn't speak English very well, but you women need to surround her and love her and minister to her. Because Jesus' job was to heal the brokenhearted. When he says to proclaim liberty, liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who were bound. And that's what God did. He opened the prison to those who were bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. And that's what God's doing this morning. He's given his oil of joy. It's just amazing joy because God brought him out. The garment of praise, spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And that's what God is doing here among your midst. And you all had such a major part in the revelation of all this and the release of the captives. And you are one amazing church, and I sure do appreciate you guys. And I thank you all for coming and ministering to them. Teach Miriam as much English as you can so that, and stand behind her and make sure she has everything she needs in the kitchen and whatever she needs. And I thank all of you women for loving her, and even all you men to praying for the young men over here. Let's see. I tell you what, you all come down here. You all come down here. And any of the men that want to come and pray over the men, do that. And we'll just close the service with a prayer over these young people. And we just rejoice. We rejoice. This is a time of rejoicing for the whole church. And we thank you for taking care of these people and ministering to their needs. Because it's the heart of the Father. That was the very first sermon he came, to set the captives free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now, in Jesus' name, we proclaim liberty to the captives. Thank you, Lord, for liberty. Thank you, Lord, for the oil of joy, for the ashes and mourning. Thank you, Lord, that you've restored joy and happiness and the love of Jesus in their eyes and their hearts. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for this church in Jesus' name, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would reign here and that they could all rejoice together over all the joy that's come upon this church because of the blessing they were to this family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. And Lord, just like Jesus said that if a man had 100 sheep, and one was lost, that he would go out in the wilderness, he would find that lost sheep. These were lost sheep. They were people without a country. And now they have a home. They have a country. They have passports. They have a place to live. They have food and provision and jobs. Thank you, Lord. We're so grateful, and we thank you for that. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a fantastic day that you're doing right here in this church, Lord. We bless you, and we thank you for this wonderful day in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you very much. Mm.
Thank you, Jesus. And if there's any young available women, Asher is still available. Oh, okay. Okay. We're going to, excuse me, you're going to sing?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I forgot we had a song from them. Yes. So what kind of song do you want to sing? Oh, yeah, good, good. Okay, he wants to sing the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Yes, I will join you. Okay. Thank you, Lord.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back. Yesu ke piche main chalne laga. Yesu ke piche main chalne laga. Yesu ke piche main chalne laga. Na lotunga, na lotunga.
Thank you, Jesus.
Na lotunga, na lotunga. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back. Yesu ke piche main chalne laga. Yesu ke piche main chalne laga. Yesu ke piche main chalne laga. Na lotunga, na lotunga, na lotunga, na lotunga. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. No turning back, no turning back. Yesu ke piche main chalne laga. Yesu ke piche main chalne laga. Yesu ke piche main chalne laga. Na lotunga, na lotunga. Na lotunga, na lotunga. Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You take the whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No turning back, no turning back. Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Gary, I'm not sure how to conclude this, so I'll let you do that.
What a perfect part of that sermon. Thank you so
you.
Much.
Thank you.
Wow. Guys, Owen and Miriam, one of the things, there's a couple things. I just want to close with this. I know it doesn't matter what time it is. Go, husband.
I'm sorry for
No, it's good. This is what we need. We need this. There's a couple of things as we were chatting with you as a family, and I talked about the hardship of seeing your boys being raised in this type of setting, and you said one thing, and that stood out to me, and that is, like, even in all of this hardship, even in all of the struggles, and it's just like, how do you raise your kids in that? You know, you see your kids being raised in this situation. You know what he said? He said, this was an awesome time. This was the right time for me to be able to teach Asher about Jesus. And we spent every day sharing the word of God and teaching him to prepare him for the world. And so like they're always looking for that positive aspect in light of their situation. And I don't know how you didn't give up hope, but your faith in God and it's just absolutely amazing. It's a testimony to us and it's encouragement to me personally to see your faith in God. And church, I know we need this. We need this all. And it's just a picture of God loved you in all of this. And he cared for you in light of those 17 years. Mm-hmm. And we don't know why. Why did it take so long? There was lots that he had to, the character he had to build, the faith in God he had to build in you. And so, church, mm-hmm. don't give up where you're at. Jesus loves you dearly. Wherever this life has brought you to, whatever circumstances, Jesus cares for you deeply. Don't give up. Continue in that faith. It might take 17 years. It might take all your life. I don't know, but he doesn't leave you, and he walks with you. Those are profound. That's a profound thing that's impacted my life. And I don't know if you guys, most of us caught that. Joshua is engaged to be married, right? Yeah, absolutely. One of the coolest things about that was his brother was so excited the day that they were going to tell me. Asher comes running up and my brother has something exciting to tell you. And Asher was just as excited. I'm like, what's going on? And then Joshua said, I'm engaged to be married. Like, what a, I love that you guys are so excited. And just your faithfulness, your humility, and God is absolutely awesome. And then to put you working for somebody like Nellie Nelson, you were kind when you said he's hilarious. He's crazy.
Very funny guy.
Yeah, he's, yeah. I worked with Nelson too, so for a while, so I know what he's like. So he's a great man, and so I'm so thankful that you get to work with him too. And so, yeah. But let's pray and let's wrap this up. And
just want to say a few words.
Yes.
Before one thing, we have to unite it with our family, so we can do everything possible. Nothing is possible for us. Impossible for us. So we have to.
So finally. After everything that we have spent 17 years of our life in Sri Lanka for the hardship, I want to thank my mom and dad for keeping us safe, protected always. And even though there was too many trials and temptation, and they had to face so much problem, but they never let us put in any harm. And they always gave us encouragement. They always fulfill our needs. And we are very lucky to have parents like them, and I pray that everyone get parents like them.
Thank you very much.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, well, oh man, you guys are, and you know what? I think you should probably at some point teach us that song in Urdu. It actually sounds more British.
Okay.
And you guys are amazing. God has blessed us with you as part of our family. Yeah, let's pray. Oh, Father God in heaven, we give you thanks. We give you praise and glory to protect this family, care for them. And Father, I pray that they would not lose their passion for you, that they would continue to put their faith in you for all things. And Father, I pray that we would learn from them. And God, that we would be able to trust you in all of our circumstances to the depth and length that they have. Oh, Father, we give you praise and glory. Thank you. And we are together as this body of Christ, brothers and sisters, celebrating together. We give you praise and glory. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
God bless you all.